Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
You can make the mountains ring, make the angels cry. Golden bird is on the wing, and you may not know why. Come on, leave them out, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another right now.
Some may call. That was Let's Get Together from, well, it's Paul Brady. Paul Brady, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome, my friend, to our little room here at the Bells of the Earth. That's a great song. There's a reason we're playing it. There's a reason you're here. That's an old song.
Yeah. Well, this is the Paul Brady archive.
Yes.
I mean, this is not exactly the spring of my career, so I thought after being in the music business for about 50 years,
yes,
I thought it was time to sort of show a little bit more, I suppose, as to how I got to where I am in terms of my compositions and writing and all that stuff. What was the very first iteration of a song that people may know in a more professional form nowadays? So there's a lot of home demos on this, and there's a lot of B-sides and live stuff, and there are collaborations, one-off collaborations with other artists that only came out once and never were seen again.
Never seen again. Now, it's called Paul Brady, The Archive. Before we come to, was Crazy Dreams the book the reason that caused you to go on to this, or was it always a plan, the autobiography?
It wasn't a plan at all. It was just I developed a relationship with Malcolm Mills, who has a record company called Last Music, and he always loved to have music on it that goes way back with a long pedigree, and music that he loved. And he came to me with the idea of putting out over a year's sort of project, an archive that showed an awful lot of the beginnings of my songs before they were even released. And I mean, a lot of people are interested to know what was the very first idea for a song, and sometimes even the home demo of a song, although it might be sonically a bit rough, it can have a little bit more spirit than even the final recorded version, because you get into a studio with the whole paraphernalia of musicians around. Sometimes you lose maybe the magic that you first felt when you wrote the song.
That's right.
So sometimes the home demos are
what's lovely about having that home demo and that basic song, I remember, you know, that question that presenters and people ask, you know, where did that idea come from? Where did that idea? And most songwriters don't want to answer the question, because sometimes you don't know where it came from. It just landed in your brain, and then out it came.
Yeah, well, I mean, people I'm forever been asked to do sort of the songwriting workshops and stuff. And I'm hopeless, because I don't know. I've written hundreds of songs, but I don't know how to write a song.
I think that's incredible, because I asked the same question of someone known to both of us, who's made many an album, and he's 80 this year.
Right.
And he told me the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And he wasn't being smart. He says, I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Van Morrison. It comes in and it goes out.
Yeah.
It's astonishing where that comes from. And have you questioned it? Have you ever kind of wondered how you have that talent and your best mate doesn't have it? Do you know, where does that come from, I wonder?
Well, it's just everybody's different, and, you know, I wasn't up for much else, to be honest. I'm very glad I had a smattering of a talent.
Thank God for it. Well, listen, we opened with Let's Get Together from the Youngbloods.
Yeah.
But
that's actually me singing it.
Yeah, but it's your version that we've just played. The Youngbloods had a hit with it, but talk to me about the song and why that song is important.
In 1999, I was asked to become part of an album, a compilation of different artists. The album was called Bleecker Street. Greenwich Village in the 60s.
Right.
So as we know, there was an awful lot of hits came out of that period, and Let's Get Together was one of them, from a man called Chet Chet Powers, who I think his stage name was Dino Valenti, and he was in a band. Was he in a band called the Quicksilver Messenger?
I remember them vaguely. Yes, yeah, yeah, that's right.
But anyway, it was a great album because, like, Chrissy Hynde, you know, Beth Nielsen Chapman, Curtis Stigers, you know, a lot of different artists were on this album, and it was nice to be asked to do it.
But it's look, but isn't that is that like the calling card, to use the phrase? Is that like the calling card? The whatever about the performer, but the songwriter as well, that you become known within the business and therefore you become part of that other world of all these people.
A lot of the stuff I've done outside my own exact career has been because people have heard the work I've done and seem to think that it might fit in with what they want to do.
That's
how it happens.
But like just when we think about all these people like Bonnie Raitt, we think about Tina Turner, think about the great Jimmy Buffett. God, that night I saw you on stage with Jimmy Buffett, you were like a 10-year-old. It was magnificent. But it was a great night, and he was, God bless him, God rest him, he was great fun.
I know, that was an awful tragedy.
But the night was phenomenal, and you were really, I just said to myself, I turned to my wife, I said, he's like a teenager, because you were so enthused by that.
Well, it was so left field for Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew Jimmy Buffett, and I'd heard his stuff, but I wouldn't have known an awful lot about him.
Yeah,
and frankly, not many people in Europe would have known him.
No.
But he was massive in America, filling out stadiums and tons of people following him around.
That's right, parrot heads. Mad articles altogether.
So it was a great surprise when he approached
But there's the success of it. Mm. Now look, when you decided, when I was going through this and thought, I was astonished at the photographs, not only the photographs, but the tickets to concerts and ads, like for the Hammersmith Odeon and the Queen Elizabeth. Did you keep all these? Are these all in your house in a box? Well, where did all this come
from? I have to blame my mother.
No, that's brilliant. I love it. Your mother, is it your mother, really?
My mother had kept scrapbooks of all this
fantastic
stuff.
Fantastic, I love it.
You know, and...
you see, I think that's brilliant.
I mean, there's some mad stuff in there. In 68, when I was a member of the Johnstons, the Irish folk group, we were playing in the Albert Hall in a sort of a quasi Irish night. We had people like, I think, Brendan O'Dowda and the Irish girl, London Irish girl dancers, and the Johnstons from Ireland. And down at the bottom of the bill, undiscovered yet, David Bowie.
Oh, that's brilliant. There's a picture of you, hang on. There's a picture of you in here. It's a star spotlight or something. You and David Bowie on the cover together.
Oh, I think, no.
There's a picture of you and Bowie.
Well,
in Dublin.
I don't think we actually...
Do you know what it is? It says Bowie on film and Brady on Brady. See, I found it. It's in Dublin. Again, anyway, it's back to your mother. I just found a picture of the old Sheeling ballads.
Right.
And it's the Johnstons. And there she kept it. It was very dear to get in. It was five
shillings. Opening for them there?
No, you were it. You were. James Keane, Carmel Byrne, Paul Brady, the Johnstons, it says.
Oh, well, I wasn't in the Johnstons at that time. That was even before...
But you were underneath.
Yeah, I was the support act.
Isn't that hilarious?
That's before I was even asked to join the band.
£5, did you get much? I'll tell you one I did find out. Royal Festival Hall, 27th of September, I don't know what year, you'll know. Al Stewart, Fairport Convention, the Johnstons, and Joni Mitchell, special guest.
Yeah, that was Joni Mitchell's first ever appearance outside America.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, and we were big fans of hers. You know,
the Johnstons were very big at their own time too.
Well, we recorded both sides now.
Yes, that's right.
Her song, and we had a hit with that.
Yes.
Even in America, I think we got in the top 50 or something on Billboard.
Because you had that American stint, I know.
Yeah, so that was a real thrill because not many people had heard of Joni Mitchell back then, and we felt kind of... Oh, we know Joni Mitchell.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, you wouldn't understand, but we know Joni Mitchell. I know exactly that thing. Let's get back to some of the music that we want. I mean, that's one thing. One of the songs that you wanted us to share this morning is you do a version of Gimme Shelter.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones.
Yes.
Talk to me about Gimme Shelter, and apart from the fact, I think it's an amazing song.
I had been writing with an American songwriter called Bob Teal, And we had written a few songs together. Some of them I even recorded. And he got in touch with me because he became the music consultant for the series Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yes.
The American Biker TV series.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And they were finishing up series two, and they wanted to finish it with the Rolling Stones song, Gimme Shelter. Bob Teal gets in touch with me. He says, would you like to sing this? You know, and of course, I was a huge Stones fan at the time, and I was delighted to sing it. And so, funnily enough, I recorded it, and they put it on the series, and if you look in Spotify now, it's the most played song of mine, of any song I've ever made in my life.
Why?
Because it was on
Because it was on Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
Of course, yes, yes.
And that was
power.
A huge American series.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah, the power.
It's, you know, so I just thought that was interesting enough to put it
that
on.
That is, no. But again, most people wouldn't think of Gimme Shelter, yeah. Sons of Anarchy, and Paul Brady. And now here it is,
yeah.
As part of this, and here it is. Shelter, Paul Brady, that's gas. There's a great picture of you in the front of Hot Press. Are you with Phil Lynott, or are you just...
Oh, I was with Phil Lynott,
yeah. Poor old Phil, he was great too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the other thing too, about when you think about it, in this business and your survival within the business, and the fact that you're still vibrant and still making music, the fact that you're still there, the fact that you're doing gigs. You're in Vicar Street, I know, on the 11th, 12th and 15th of April, and then you're off to Donegal to the Mount Errigal on the 13th. You're still eager to be there. We've lost so many greats over the years. You've escaped that, thank God.
So far.
Well, so far, so good. Which is when you see the picture of you with them.
Well, I know. As regards being still listened to, I mean, I always like to joke that I never fell out of fashion because I was never in fashion.
well, you hung on manfully for a long time. But, I mean, the point is that you've always been... I'll tell you what I thought was wonderful. When you did it. When you recorded Always on Your Own, and it was wonderful, and of course it was, but you were never afraid to record with other people too.
Yeah. Well,
and I think that, yeah, but that brings you to another audience quite often, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And, and again, that's part of what this archive project is all about.
Yes.
It's about, one-off kind of collaborations with artists that maybe came out on an album and then only their fans heard it, and people didn't even know I'd done it.
Yes.
So that's the sort of thing that's on this.
That's right. Again, I think it's access where there mightn't even be. People might be saying, "Oh yeah, we must have a look at this. We must have a look at that." I noticed that one of the posters that the mammy kept was Liz Duinverna, and it's Christa Borg. And you and Planksty, as the fella said, and then the rest. I see moving hearts. I find it fascinating that the Shaking Pyramid's Freddie White, but you're way up there, my friend. Are you? You're not. Who are you with? Is it just you? I'm trying to. No, it's just. Yeah, it's just you. Planksty is there.
Yeah. What date is that?
There's no. I can't. It's 19. It's 1980 blip.
1980
Zenith Promotions. 1981. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
It was 3 days. Liz Duinverna.
Oh, that was the year. That was my first. That was the year I put out Hard Station.
There you go.
So I. but I had a band.
The Great Heart Station. And I remember on 2FM playing that. Jeepers, we played on Radio 2, we played it off the air. Nothing but the same old story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great songs. but a tough song. It is a tough song.
Yeah, well, that appears on this archive in a different form.
And what form does it take?
Well, when Philip King put out the series Bringing It All Back Home, which was about how American music travelled and influenced America, or rather how Irish music travelled to America and influenced it, and then found its way back here. I sang a live version of Nothing But the Same Old Story with the great Donal Lunny, and that... is now on this archive. It's it was a one-off thing, just acoustic guitar and bouzouki, and there was a bit of a vibe going on at the time, and I think it translated into the music, into the performance. So that's why I stuck that on this.
Sorry, is the vibe between you and Donal?
No, just a good musical vibe.
Oh, that's all right. I thought there was violence.
Well, there was a vibe between Donal and I, but it was musical.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, here it is. We might compare and contrast just for the sake of it, because the original version takes me back to a whole other world. Here it is. This is Nothing But the Same Old Story. Donal Lunny with Paul Brady from the anthology. And there it is from Heart Station, just to give you a little taster of the two together. I'm chatting with Paul Brady this morning. This anthology is quite something. One of the things I was wondering, you'll sell it online, of course, but you'll sell it in music stores and presumably bookstores, because it's a book, if you think about it as well.
Yeah.
So I presume you'll go into the bookstores as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, people think nobody buys CDs anymore, you know.
But when
they're framed in a kind of a situation like this, in a box set with a book of unseen stuff before, you know. People sometimes like that.
I think a number of people have done this, and the man we mentioned earlier on apparently has an intention to do it, but hasn't got around to it yet. But I think it does matter, and if you're a fan of somebody's and it gives you an extra element to who they are and what they are, then I think that's to the good, because those of us who love music are always curious about how these things came to be. Do you know? One of the tracks on it is 40 Shades of Green.
Well, yeah.
Now, this is Johnny Cash.
Well, that was done back in the early noughties, 2004, I think it was, in the huge tsunami of the Indian Ocean. At the time I was contracted to Compass Records in Nashville, and they wanted to put out an album to raise money for victims of the tsunami. And there were lots of different artists on it, and I was asked would I do a cover of the 40 Shades of Green. because I always loved Johnny Cash, yeah. and I loved the song, yeah. And its association with Ireland. And
of course.
I sang it with Rodney Crowell, and no better
yes.
man to do a duet with than Rodney.
It's an amazing song.
Yes, well,
you think it's simple, but it's not that simple at all.
Yeah, so it's a simple version of it.
Yeah.
It's like mostly acoustic, and again, fits perfectly on this archive. Yeah,
yeah, no, it makes total sense. I just love the song. I love the fact that he wrote it when he looked out a plane, allegedly, and saw Ireland as he was coming in,
the
claim. But what a talent, what a man.
Oh, yeah.
And we were playing his work with Rick Rubin the other day.
Okay.
Which was,
the highlight.
The six amazing albums, they really were.
Yeah.
I mentioned, Nobody Knows is remixed on this as well, Nobody Knows. I hear that song still, I hear it a lot on the radio. It's a really good song, and in the troubled times we live in,
yeah.
it mightn't be the wrong song to play either.
Yeah.
It's an interesting song.
Well, like a lot of... like a lot of recordings, you know, there's various different mixes done before the final one is done.
Yes.
And this was an example. This is a mix of the song before the final one that came out by Wayne Yurgelin, who was the recording engineer of the album Trick or Treat that I was doing in LA at the time. And I loved his take on this, on it. You know, it's in a bigger space than the final version that came out that everybody knows, and it just sets the song up in a different dynamic, and it's not very different to the one that's, you know, that is in the shops, but.
But it gives us a different sense. It gives us another sense of a song, as I say, that is played still repeatedly on the radio. This is Nobody Knows from the archive, Paul Brady, the archive.
Johnny's got high expectations. He's gonna rise. Johnny's ready. He's ready to fly. Up on the rooftop, he turns to the crowd. No one is waiting, 'cause no one is there. Nobody knows why Elvis threw it all away.
Just to digress for a second, you're off. You're doing gigs on Vicar Street.
Yeah.
You looking forward to it?
Yes, I am.
I remember the time you did all those. You did a million gigs. Do you remember that?
Well,
you had all these guests coming in and
that
out.
That was 2001, I think it was,
I was there, and that was amazing. But what was fascinating about that was, we talked about collaboration earlier on, Paul Brady Meets. Like, you had all these different people coming in.
Yeah, well, I actually put out an album called Live at Vicar Street.
Yeah.
A double album, it must be 7 or 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
With a lot of those
that was amazing
collaborations.
It was an amazing list of people. And Brendan Boyer.
Well, Mark Knopfler. Van, actually.
Yeah, Van, laughing at Brendan Boyer.
Yeah,
at the good of it.
Yeah, that was great.
It was, yeah.
Well, laughing with Brendan Boyer.
Oh, no, he was laughing with him because, I mean, he was thinking of the Monarchs.
Actually, Van was a huge fan of Brendan Boyer.
So I believe.
Yeah, and he was on the Monarchs show.
The Monarchs, that's right.
And, you know.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
But let's pick one more before we wrap. Is there another track that you'd like me to pick today
that
love?
Would be very different.
Right.
And it was a duet I did with the great English folk singer Kate Rusby, who wrote a song called All God's Angels and put it out on her album on in 2012. The album was called 20. She's a really famous singer in the folk scene in the UK.
She's a beautiful voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I did a duet with her called All God's Angels. And as I say, it's not what you'd expect to hear because I'm singing away in a different register,
right,
way low. But I think it's just something special about this.
So. Oh, that's lovely. Kate Rusby, All God's Angels.
Yes.
Yeah. And is it her song?
It's her song.
It's her song. It's her song. Because we're going to... Well, let's have a listen to it. Completely different with Kate Rusby and All God's Angels. Paul, it's always a pleasure. I thoroughly enjoy your company today. One of the songs to finish, if it was okay with you, because we were just thinking about some of your music when we knew you were coming in, and yet I looked at some of these songs and I thought, you know what would be interesting to do? You don't mind if I play one of the songs you did with Jimmy Buffett just to finish off today, do you?
No,
the crack, because it's a memory that will stay with me forever and a day.
Yeah.
Is there a favourite that you did with Jimmy
Buffett?
Well,
he recorded The World Is What You Make It,
which I thought was a great version, by the way, which is great.
And I sang on that.
That'd be the one.
Yeah.
That'd be the one. Paul, keep the faith and thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
A great pleasure to have you. And just a reminder again, 11th, 12th and 15th of April in Vicar Street and the 13th of April in the Mount Errigal in Donegal. You might drop over to Bundoran when you're there and play a few tunes.
I might go through it, you never know.
You might go through it. Keep the faith. God bless you, Paul. Thanks so much.